Our scripture today comes from the Old Testament, from Jeremiah, the prophet, the 29th chapter, verse 1, and then verses 4 through 7. It says, "Now these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of the exile, the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles who I am sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will have your own welfare." The word of the God for us, His children. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Great and mighty God, I do thank You this day for Your word, and I thank You, Lord, for Your prophet Jeremiah. And I ask now, Lord, that You open up our hearts and our minds this morning to be acceptable, to be yearning, to be learning, to be able to hear those things, Lord, that You would have us to hear this day. We thank You, Lord, for this service so far. We thank You, Lord, for the goodness that has come our way this day. We thank You, Lord, for the answer of prayers. We thank You, Lord, for just allowing us to be in this place this day. Be with us now. For it is in Your Son's great and holy name I pray. Amen. This morning, when Vicki was saying about what is November, it has all kinds of things in it that we could remember. I've got a different Bible that I'm using this morning. It's one I've had for about 13 years. In fact, this week will be 13 years that I've had it. It was a Bible that I was given by the church that ordained me. And the reason I didn't use it that much is because the one I had, I'd just gotten, it's a smaller one, and But this one, I can almost read it without my glasses. It's got bigger print. And 13 years ago, I didn't need that. But I was ordained 13 years ago this week. And it has a lot of good memories from the church that gave it to me for the people. And the song that we sang this morning, I love to tell the story because it'll be my theme in glory, that old, old story that I have loved so long. And it brings back so many things of that story. Now, every verse of this song tells what it is that we should be about, the things we should be happy about, of knowing, of telling that story about how Jesus first came to know us, how we first accepted Him. But today is is one of the reasons that I just love coming to places like this. I love coming to church and worshiping each week. And the reason I do is that I get reminded of this old, old story. Every Sunday, no matter what has happened during the past 6 days of my week, I am given the opportunity to come to this place to plant my 2 feet here, or, like some of you, plant my derriere right here. Bask in a familiar time and space with a familiar set of people. And together we can do what? We can say yes. We say yes that this is true. And yes, I'm going to try and embody this faith. And yes, I'm going to be here in this moment. Yes, Lord, I'm here for the journey and I'm ready to follow You. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful if everybody that came into this place was here for this moment, was here for this time that is at hand, no matter what time it is? To say, yes, I am truly here and my thoughts are not anywhere else. That you can truly come into this place and stay here and be here. And to say, this is where I need to be. This is where I need to be for this moment. And to say, yes, Lord, I'm here to serve You. You see, the prophets today remind us that this was difficult for the folks who had been carried off into exile. Remember that fearsome and powerful empire from up north, Babylon. Babylon had conquered Judah in about 587 BC, and had hauled back to their own country the leaders of that community. They didn't take everyone, but they took those who had special talents and people who might be threatening to Babylon if they were left alone. So the Babylonian strategy here was twofold. Not only would they deplete the fallen country of any leadership that would possibly rise up in rebellion, but also that they would increase the human resources back home. They hauled these folks off, apparently with families and communities still intact. They were taken away from their homes, away from their spiritual headquarters in Jerusalem. In brief, they were driven away from what they and their ancestors had loved. Imagine, if you will, the disposition of the exiled group. They were tired, they were heartbroken, they were filled with uncertainty. And Psalm 137 says it very well. It says, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat down and there we wept. We hung up our harps, for their captors ask us for songs." Can't you almost hear the Israelites asking, "Who ever heard of singing in captivity? And why should we build anything? Why marry? Who would want to raise children in this country anyway?" Some really good songs came out of that time, and there's all over the place you can hear them. The kind in which the depression and the anger come through, and the songwriter just lets it all hang out towards the end. You see, oppression does that sometimes. It has a way of letting people let out those things that hurt them. In the contemporary musical Godspell, there is a song by Stephen Schwartz called "On the Willows." And "On the Willows" sums up the words of Psalm 137. The feelings of the Israelite people. It says, "On the willows there, we hung up our lives. We hung up the very thing that we had, our music, our song." Of course, they hope this captivity is short-lived. They probably even have some prognosticators in their crowd. That's those people who are self-called and self-appointed prophets who tell them what they want to hear, that it won't be long now. You see, no matter where we are, no matter where we're at in our life, there is always somebody that's willing to tell you it won't be long, it won't be too bad. You see, there is never a short supply of preachers who will tell you what you want to hear. All you have to do is turn on most evangelists for the right donation and or gift. God will give you just what you want. If you send me and my ministry a gift of just $100, I'll send you an autographed copy of my latest book. You see, just for the right price, I can tell you what you want. You see, in our scripture today, Jeremiah has a different approach. Rather than to succumb to the easy messages of the day in order to make friends and gain listeners, he simply tells them like it is. He says, "Folks, we're going to be here for a while. In fact, we're going to be here for 70 years. So this is what God says. You need to build some houses and settle down. You need to quit living in that tent village that you got over yonder under the bridge. You need to plant a garden and you need to eat from it. You need to nurture yourself and quit worrying about those Babylonians. You see, that Babylonian soil is not contaminated. You can even drink the water, they say. It's a good place. You need to get married. You need to have children. You need to grow your families. You need to grow your communities. You need to get involved relationally. Seek the peace and the prosperity of Babylon." Now, there's a stretch, isn't there? A leap of faith. Help the Babylonians. Work with them. Lord, have you lost your mind? Pray for them. Seriously, even crazier. Our God is their God. Can you imagine that? That the God that they worship is the same God we worship. Get spiritually involved in this culture. Live your lives. If you're a builder, build. If you're a singer, sing. If you're a parent, parent. If you're a farmer, grab a hoe and let's get chopping. Invest in this now, he says. That's the word from the prophet Jeremiah. Invest in what you can never possess. Psalm 24 talks about that. That this place is God's place. Give yourself, your time, your talent, although you'll never take complete ownership of this place. These are important words, and they are meant for you, and they are meant for me. Our sanctuaries, our buildings, our church campuses, our friends, these things are not ours. Yet God invites us to give ourselves to all of it, and to support it and take care of it, to live, to be. Perhaps you're someone who's been off at college, and you attend a church in a college town. You feel a little exiled from your home and your family because you're there all by yourself. You think about things. I can remember when I lived in Kentucky, and I lived there for 4 years, and I didn't come home that much. And I thought about all those things. One thing I thought about was tea. Sweet tea, they don't know what it is in Kentucky. They steep it and you drink it hot, and it's just not good. Not when you want something on a warm day. Sweet tea was one of those things that I thought about. And I thought about my mom. Think about those things that you think about when you're not at home. You might be someone who grew up in the mountains, and they have a real fall there. The leaves change, the colors. You've never had to run your air conditioner on Thanksgiving Day. But you find yourself here. You're a transient. You're in a place that you don't know. But Jeremiah says to you, and he says to me, he says to everyone that is there, invest yourself in what you cannot possess. Invest yourself where you are. For senior adults who say, I've done my time in the church nursery in VBS for over 30 years. My children are gone, grown, and on their own. Let someone else do that, preacher. I've done my time. Can't you just hear Jeremiah saying, invest yourself in what will not be yours. Invest in the lives of these children who you may not even know. You see, it's a good word for all of the people, for the Middle Agers too. Churches, after all, can change before our very eyes. Perhaps you wanted church growth at one time, but now you look out around you on Sunday morning and you see more unfamiliar faces than you do familiar ones. You used to own this place, and now you can no longer be close to everybody and every decision. And you say to the preacher, and I've heard this before, we want church growth and we need our numbers to be up, but we don't want things to change that much now. Jeremiah says to you, and he says to me, invest in what you cannot possess. You see, the church belongs to God. We need to remember that. And we need to remember that even when you feel most at home, you are not. Rather, you are enjoying a gift from the source of all good things. Jesus tells us in Matthew's Gospel in the 18th chapter and the 20th verse, it says, no matter where you are, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among you. All the things that we think make us happy are not really it at all. The beauty of our sanctuary is not God. It's a beautiful place, but it's not God. It's good, it's beautiful, but it's not God. Those familiar faces, those decisions of which you once took ownership, not yours, but God's. Today on this All Saints Sunday, as we have sang the old story, we remember the source of who our healing comes from. You see, it will be hard, especially when you feel something new and wonderful coursing through your body, and you want to defy all the odds. Have you ever been sitting here? Have you ever been in a Sunday school class or maybe been somewhere listening to somebody preach or teach, and a song rang through your head, and you wanted to just sing it? Or you wanted to change it? Well, I change it on Miss Iris all the time. Bless her heart, she's good, because I'll be thinking about something and what I've picked out or what I thought was supposed to go along with it changes. And I'll ask her to do something. Sometimes I'll be sitting at home doing something, when I'm sitting here working on a sermon sometimes. Sometimes songs just come in my noggin. And it's pitiful sometimes, because sometimes there's not much room up there for nothing. And I have to say, okay, why? And then you can't get it out of your head. And so you're singing around, you're walking around humming this thing, singing it. Nope. But for some reason, it's brought something to your mind. That's what happened with this. I love to tell the story. It got in my head, and I couldn't get it out. So I said, well, maybe I'm supposed to do something with it. And that's how this sermon started. was the old, old story. That's how it starts sometimes. It starts so differently. It weren't the scripture, but it was the song. So sometimes you can stand up and sing a different song. You can raise your hand. You can say amen. And it will be hard if you are miserable in a town or a new place of ministry and you want to go back home. But if you don't, and you're happy where you are and you can plant and grow where you are, you'll be able to say amen no matter where you are. You'll be able to lift your hand. You'll be able to sing that song. You see, it is just difficult for us to avoid confusing the source of our healing with the instrument of it. So even as we give thanks and we celebrate our church, our surroundings, and those who have gone on, we need to remember, we should say, God's church, God's surroundings, those people who have gone on, those people who have been a source of our healing. If you are experiencing some new life or perhaps seeing the relevance of the faith in a new way, know that it is not simply because of a nice place or a pretty sanctuary. It's not that you are hanging out with nicer or friendlier people or folks who have it all together. I've not met any of those yet that have it all together. When I do, I'll probably quit doing what I'm doing. It is because God is finding you and touching your life and knowing you. You see, the instruments, the things, the stuff of this world, they are finite and they are limited. And we cannot get from them what we need most. And what we need most is life. You see, that's the word from Jeremiah in our text for today. All of God's creation belongs to God. The church belongs to God. Even if you have been away into something new this day, perhaps you've even been in exile somewhere. And that exile could be so many things. It could be a separation. It could be a divorce. It could be a child who is not doing what they should do. It should be family. It could be families that are torn apart for some reason. It could be that you are truly in a place that you have no friends, a place that you do not know. It could be so many things. You could be like that young man or the friend of Jill's who felt himself in a crowd by himself. He had pulled away. He could be that same person who is in exile, like those folks up north who find themselves wondering what to do next. Many have lost their homes completely. Many of them burned to the ground during a hurricane. Some of them have just lost everything. Some of them are wondering what is going to happen. People are still in that type of situation, from things that happened in the past several years down on our own coast. They're wondering, God, why am I here? Why did you put me here? Am I in exile? It could be over a health issue. It could be so many things that you're in exile. But today, God says, plant yourself where you are and learn from it and grow. Invest in what is not yours. Invest in following Him. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you this day for your love, for your support, for your Spirit. I ask, Lord, now that you allow the words that have been spoken this day, the songs that have been sung this day, to pierce our heart and to allow us, Lord, to fully serve you and walk with you closer each and every day. Be with us now, for it's in your Son's name I pray. Amen. And our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 733. We're going to be marching to Zion, and know that the altar is always open. And come if you will. Stand as we sing.